This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to your calls on Aaron Rodgers just a bit. How about that Super Bowl yesterday, BT? I was saying this last night. I did the WFAN Daily podcast after the game. And I don't know if it's because I'm older. And you and I talked about it going into the game. Like, there was a lack of excitement about this particular matchup. It was a tough spot to, you know, you didn't want to root for the Eagles. You can't root for the Chiefs to win three in a row. So it was a tough spot as far as rooting interest goes. And then the game was an absolute dud. I know you had a party. I did not. So maybe that took away a little bit from my enjoyment. But that game was one of, if not the worst Super Bowl matchups that I had ever seen.
It didn't even feel like a game because really it never felt like the Kansas City Chiefs had a chance to win.
Right.
I mean, even like when the Jets and the Giants wallow through their seasons, like the first quarter, you're like, all right, maybe something's going to happen here today. It was so one-sided, so fast that it was unwatchable. I honestly couldn't wait for the game to end. I was bored out of my mind. And listen, I've said to you a couple times here that, and that's not just because of the Jets and the Giants, how they just make Sundays miserable. I mean, big picture. This, to me, has been the least interesting NFL season of my lifetime. And it was punctuated by the least interesting, most boring Super Bowl of my lifetime. It's just an awful football season.
And think about it this way, too. It would be one thing if the Chiefs were the one, like the Chiefs were the dynasty, right? They were supposed to be the dynasty looking for the first team to the three-peat, whatever. If they squashed an inferior opponent, all right, it'd be a bad game, but you'd see the dominant team win. They got their ass kicked, really, their comeuppance for what was a pedestrian year at best. I don't care what their record was. We've been saying it all year long. Like, at some point, they're going to get caught. It took to the Super Bowl, but and they got just destroyed in the game. So much so that, like, and my wife, God bless her, like, she just doesn't get it. Because we're sitting there, well, it's just me, my wife, and Sammy. And I think after Sammy went to sleep, so it's just me and my wife. And I'm like, all right, let's watch the game. Like, just pretend for a little bit that you're into it. Talk about the uniforms. And then it's to be careful what you wish for.
Okay.
Because then it's like, oh, who's that guy? What's this guy? What position is he playing? I'm like, oh God, boy. Go back to the phone. But so she's on the phone and she's showing me videos of TikTok. And I tell her, I'm like,
from the NFL or
things? She's like scrolling as we're watching the game. And I'm like, I'm trying to watch, like, that's great. I don't want to be rude to her.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm trying to watch the Super Bowl. She's like, oh, yeah, right. And then she's like, well, you don't even look like you're into it. I'm like, well, I'm really not because the game sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blowout. I want it to be over. You got to watch it because we got to watch it. But it was a horrible game.
Sal, if I didn't know better, like, and I didn't see him take a hit early and he looked this way from the get-go, I would think that either Patrick Mahomes had the flu or he was concussed. He had a dazed look in his eyes. Like, he didn't show that outward fire, the leadership. And he played awful. I mean, there's no way around it. He was, you know, first of all, he was popped every play, and they didn't even have to blitz. So when you have a great quarterback like Mahomes, and you could just conventionally rush four guys without sending, you know, and forget about an exotic play. You're not even really doing stunts. You're just doing bull rush, boom, hut, hike, bang. We're in your backfield. And now the other seven guys can control the second and third levels without anybody being exposed because you got a safety or a quarterback blitzing. Well, they made his life live in hell. But then there were other times, you know, after that when guys were open and he was just kind of rushing. Like, they. So But the game was awful. Like, we all know that it was boring. Unless you're an Eagles fan, then you loved it. It was so boring, right. So without any sort of, you know, spark or intrigue. But there were football elements that I still take away. Like, now, obviously, Mahomes' legacy has changed forever. He can't be Brady. Brady never got his teeth kicked in like that. I know Brady lost to the Giants twice. He never looked that bad,
but
ever.
But he could still win more.
I know he could, but that was such an eyesore, such a non-competitive fight.
And he looked awful in the process.
That's what, like, I mean.
Yeah, but Brady's made some mistakes. I mean, maybe this would have been the equivalent of the 28-3 Super Bowl, but Brady comes back and wins that one. But they did get their doors blown off. He's throwing a pick six, all that stuff. But Mahomes just kept missing throws after, not even the pick six, all the throws. He was making horrible decisions. I still am not ready to say definitively he'll never be Brady. What happens if they go out there and win the next five? Like, you just don't know. My bigger question would be, do you think that this is the end of the Chiefs dynasty? Now that they've gotten popped like that, mm-hmm. and like crushed in the process, doesn't it feel like, I feel like if I'm the Bills or the Ravens or anybody else, I feel like, hey, look at what happened. They just got smacked. They can be beat. Like, the unbeatable Chiefs can be beat. Here's how we got
to
do it.
Yeah, but the Bills and the Ravens aren't built yet to beat them. The Philadelphia Eagles roster is absolutely awesome. It is amazing. I mean, first of all, from a Chiefs perspective, they had zero balance. They didn't run the ball at all. And really, yeah, I'm bothered by, like, I'm mad at myself because I picked the Chiefs on Friday, and all year, even when you and I were powering up early in the year, neither one of us was full to the, we never put Kansas City one.
No.
We're like, even with this ridiculous record, there's just too many games, whether it's the blocked kick against Denver, every week they win by three, they're not putting up a lot of points, they look different, and for some reason, I went against my yearly instincts, and I said, they could probably win a tight one, and I should have known better. You know, maybe I took the bait where Sirianni can't shine, you know, read shoes, whatever.
My coach quarterback.
Yeah, we did talk about that. But there was just, I think that I would not shut the door. Well, you shut the door on the dynasty. Clearly, I don't shut the door on the Chiefs for generating because they're a very high-functioning franchise. Now, they need an influx of talent. Travis Kelce's done. Travis Kelce no longer wants to play football. His head's not in it. His heart's not in it. You could tell. And I'm not here to rip him for it, but he just needs to know that because he looks like a shell of what he was. And if they could address those things, I think Mahomes is still great, but I don't know if he could quite elevate the way he did. He looks a little slower, but that's also watching Jalen Hurts navigate the pocket. Like, Hurts is just faster. Is Mahomes slower because he's slower, or did he look slower because Hurts is just faster?
No, I thought he looked slower because the Eagles' defense was just kicking his ass all night
long.
A couple of things that you should learn from this. We always get focused on the quarterback, 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 quarterback. Philadelphia has built their team in the trenches, and that is why they dominated this Super Bowl. That is why they dominated a large portion of the year. Matter of fact, you could even go to the Lions and see how they built their team as well. We should be more excited. I know we don't. I'm not talking about you and I specifically. I'm talking about us as sports fans as a whole. We should be more excited about the tackle that gets picked or the center that gets drafted when you're building, or the defensive line. We know all that, how mm-hmm. important that is more so, but when you build an offensive line the way the Eagles have, it allows you to dominate even without having, like, think about it. The Eagles won a Super Bowl, been to two, and now won one with Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts as the head coach quarterback combination, a combination that most Eagles fans don't even like. Like, we would have gotten them out of town, and yet they're Super Bowl champions. Why are they Super Bowl champions? Maybe Sirianni underrated to a certain extent. I think Hurts certainly underrated to a certain extent.
Yes, Jalen Hurts deserves much more love than he gets.
Right, but still, BT, it's built on that offensive line. This team is built in the trenches and the defense and the drafting by Howie Roseman. Like, we all know now what it takes, but that's how you want to build a team instead of just chasing the top quarterback. Oh, you need the
receiver.
The Giants. Oh, you can't win without Malik Nabers. Oh, you can't get a good franchise. You can't turn it around without having Jaden Daniels and a top pick.
Mm-hmm.
Bull crap. The Eagles are the blueprint, and it's not just them, but this is the most recent dominant example of it.
Yes, but if they didn't have Devontae Smith, who was what? I think the 11th overall pick, whatever he was. If they didn't have A.J. Brown, who was a terrific player elsewhere that they brought in. If they didn't have Goddard, like if they didn't have Saquon, I know the old line is really, really good. And their pass rush is just, wow. It was beyond impressive, you know. But to me, and I think to most fans, we want to see, while the trenches, that's what sets you up for success. Mm. You know, I want to see a better game. But I don't know. Like, if they, like, let's just say the Eagles had C-level receivers, and they didn't have Saquon. I mean, are we lauding their O-line, or are we lauding their O-line because they've got the O-line and they've got everybody else too?
Yeah, but here's the checkmate. The Giants had Saquon forever, and they weren't able to ever once have him look the way that he did this year. And why do you think that is? Is it Saquon stopped dancing, or is it that the Eagles have an offensive line?
Yeah, like, that's a good point.
They were able to maximize Saquon Barkley. And by the way, that's why it was one of the reasons why I picked the Eagles. The two reasons. One, I was picking against the Chiefs all year. I wasn't going to stop the final game of the year. And eventually it paid off. But the other part of it was the Giants' perspective. Like, I know it because I've been there before as a fan where you're just like, all right, we've taken enough hits this year. Please, whatever. Just like to anybody but the Eagles win the Super Bowl. Please, come on. All we need is Mahomes and Reed to win another Super Bowl. Just don't let the Eagles win the Super Bowl. And of course, they do. They put the icing on top of the cake on the Giants' 100th anniversary season, where Saquon Barkley is kissing the Lombardi Trophy with his family as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles.
I heard you saying that on Sports Night last night. Yeah, I mean, it sums it all up. You know, and really, I don't know why it bothers me. I really shouldn't let it bother me as much because I don't have to watch it. And I didn't watch much of the pregame at all. I told you I had to take Colt to baseball.
See,
I had to
Kelsey's
go out
outfit?
Well, that's where I'm going.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Travis Kelce shows up dressed like Ron Burgundy. You know, you got Patrick Mahomes wearing a green suit trolling the Eagles. Like, it's like a red carpet affair.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm like, you can avoid it if you want, but then during the game, it becomes part of the game, too. Like, I don't care about celebrities.
Yeah, I know. But
I don't.
But that's what the Super Bowl is about. All these celebrities, like, yeah, that's what I need, Paul Rudd's take on things.
Yeah,
The Sandman, who I love, Adam Sandler, but, like, him talking about, yeah, maybe the Jets. Yeah, okay, Sandman.
Might have
been the funniest thing he's ever said. Like, I can't get into that, but that's the stuff that the other people, like, the people that come to your party, the wives, the girlfriends.
Are you sure about that? Now, I think it depends on, I also think it depends on the crowd. Now, listen, we're a little bit older, all right, but even our kids who are, you know, who like different music than we do, they're like, this halftime show is atrocious.
Right.
I'm like, when is this show over?
Yeah, I know. It goes on forever. I think just the game, I think there's a lot of elements to it, but the actual game sucked and was non-competitive. I think that was the worst thing probably you could live with the halftime. Just ignore
There's
it.
No doubt if you get a good game, for sure.
Right, just ignore it. You're looking forward to the second half. But this game, I was like, God, it's over. The Chiefs aren't even doing anything. Maybe if Hopkins would have caught that pass, it was a bad throw by Mahomes. Down
you
got to
catch that ball.
Yeah, 24-0. At least you get on the board, make it 24-7. You give him a chance.
Yeah, and how about that? Just saying, hey, we're going up top. We are just going to stick the dagger right in your right in your neck. How about that throw to 52 yards on a fly? Perfect.
Yeah, the Eagles played a hell of a game. Hey, they deserve to win. They were the best team all year long.
Yeah, they were.
One last note before we get back to the calls here, 888-808-1019, and it ties into the Giants. Did you see Strahan with the with the Eagles flag?
Unacceptable. I mean, what are you doing?
I mean, look, I get the entertainment aspect of it.
That's what I'm saying. This is what I mean.
Like, we're trying to be entertainers. Yes, sure. Yeah. I know he's not a player anymore. For a Giant fan to have to endure all that they did. Like, it's not the Giants fan fault that the team that they root for sucks and has been a total embarrassment. It's not the Giant fan fault that they let Saquon Barkley go. All those different things. Picking Barkley, then letting him go, then the Eagles having the ultimate success. But they need their guy, Strahan, Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer, New York Giant legend. They need to see him waving the Eagles. Like, that's something that to me, I thought Strahan really crossed the line.
Well, it's juvenile at this point. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's been so blurred. Hey, you know, everything's just about a visual and a goofy, stupid pregame show that lasts 8 hours. Just get me to the game. God almighty, I can't stand so much of the content before the game is just a waste of time. And I don't watch it, so I guess I don't need to complain. It's there if you want it. And if you don't watch it, so I don't have to complain about it all day. But imagine Derek Jeter waving a Boston Red Sox flag. Imagine Patrick Ewing waving a Bulls or a Pacers or a Heat flag. I know Patrick didn't win the championship, but
still.
I mean, you understand the symbolism. Just imagine that. Come on. Imagine Bart Scott. You know, I'm just picking Bart because of can't wait. Him waving a Patriots flag. He does a lot of TV. Imagine them doing that. What are we doing?
There are certain things you got to be smart enough to understand that it's just not worth it to turn off the fans who love you. Giant fans love Michael Strahan, and he was only hurting one fan base by way, like he wasn't helping the Eagles fans, although they probably look at it and laugh at. Even your guys waving the flag, but he's not helping really anybody else. He's only hurting. Well, what was the purpose of that? You could say, I want to root for Saquon. He's a nice guy.
Yes.
You don't have to wave the flag. He went way too far to where I would understand, hey, he sets foot in Giants Stadium next time he does, or MetLife Stadium, whatever, he's going to get his ass booed. And rightfully so, he should. Don't you think that's going to be the case?
I don't know that he will. I think that he should. I got no problem with it.
100% he should. I would bet anything that he would after
he
that
should.
Display.
I want to hear what Tiki says about that. No, I mean, listen, to me...
Well, Tiki took a lot of flack himself.
I'm not 100%.
Although he was defending the Giants.
Stuff, right?
Yeah, right, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the thing about Saquon now, I'm not a Giants fan, so I process it differently, but I think if I was knowing that he wanted to stay more than leave and knowing all the things that we've regurgitated a million times, you know, I'll tell you, just from my perspective, part of me wanted to see him, you know, house one from 60 yards last night because without him, I'm not sure if they're here. I did watch some of the post game, which I enjoy more than the pregame. His two little kids are absolutely adorable.
Yes.
They're on the side, just gorgeous. Just like there's that. He's such a good person. I appreciate the purity of it from a dad's perspective. His fiance was up there. He is a wonderful human being. But to wait, so I get Strahan going on TV and saying, hey, even if you say I'm pulling for Saquon today, and even if he said something like, hey, Giant fans, you might get a little pissed at me here, but I'm pulling for Saquon. I want to see Saquon be a champion. Okay, but to grab the flag and wave it, just awful look for awful.
Yeah, that was really the nail on the 2025 or 2024 Giants coffin. BT and Sal on the fan, back to the phones, 888-808-1019. Chris is in Bay Shore, wanted to talk to him Super Bowl. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, hey, guys, how we doing?
Good, what's up?
Sal, you had me laughing. You talking about the wife watching the game. I had the same thing. It was the first year that usually we get together with a couple, whatever it is. And last night it was just us literally stepping up, and out comes the phone, out comes the videos, and just questions about it. And the only thing she asked me was, why does Mahomes look so tired?
Yeah. He looked like he was sick.
Come on. I mean,
my wife said the same thing. He looked like he was sick.
Well, that's what she said. It didn't mean, like, tired the way he was playing. She just looked at him and she said, the guy looks like he's exhausted.
Yep.
I said, well, that's kind of hard to believe based on, you know, on the fact that he had 2 weeks to rest and get ready for the game. But there has to be some reason why that went the way it did. I know the pressure, but Mahomes, there was definitely something up. It could have, you know, who knows? It could have been a flu. It could have been a sickness. I don't know, but. There's got to be some.
Well, he just had another baby. I mean, you know, I'm, you know, I know, you know, moms do things that dads cannot never do, just based on anatomy, like breastfeeding. But I'm sure Pat's had some sleepless nights.
Right.
I mean, maybe that's it. Who knows?
I mean, the night before the Super Bowl. I mean, here's the thing: he was making some Zach Wilson-like throws.
He was awful.
It's one thing if you don't have a good game, but him making those decisions and just making like hideous throws. This is Patrick Mahomes we're talking about.
Yeah.
It might have been the worst game he's ever played in his life.
I don't think there's any doubt that it was. And not only were the throws woefully off base, but I even thought a couple times he really could have tucked it and run, and he didn't.
Right.
Which almost speaks to, you know, how was he feeling? Not an excuse. I mean, he was, for an all-time great, and he is an all-time great, he was awful.
Jeff is in Hamilton, New Jersey. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
All right. I'm gonna be mostly negative here, but I'm gonna end on a positive note. I literally did not watch a minute of last night's game. I am a guy originally from New York, and I live in Bucks County now, so I'm surrounded by Eagles fans, good people. Not saying anything bad about them. The game to me has jumped the shark. The BT's point, it's too long. There's no flow to it. There's too many commercials. The commercials are not as clever as they used to be.
God, that is a great point. The commercials stink. Them too.
They stink. They're not as clever as they used to be. I'm not a Kendrick Lamar guy. You know, I'm 50 years old. Give me a band. You know, I'm old school. I just I'm such a hockey fan. Like, to me, like, the Stanley Cup final is so much more exciting. But to end on a positive note, because I'm, you know, sound like the old guy ranting, I didn't watch the game. But can we all agree that Howie Roseman might be one of the best GMs in all sports right now? This guy put together a hell of a team. But again, the Super
Always
Bowl...
Always does.
You didn't watch the game?
I did not watch a minute of the game.
What'd you
not
do?
Not a minute. I ate food and drank beer and watched some other stuff.
You're like, at a what do you mean?
What?
What'd
you watch?
No. I did not have a party. my wife, who hates sports, every year makes food for the Super Bowl. I have no idea why. It was just me, my wife, my son.
Okay.
I did not want to watch a minute
but
of the game.
But what did you watch?
The son was the game on?
Yeah. What did you watch?
I had, like, a movie on. I just, like I said,
right.
I had no...
I got you.
If the Giants were in the game, I would have watched, obviously.
What do you mean, like a movie? What movie? I'm not buying this, Jeff. I am.
I believe it.
One of the greatest movies ever made was on TV last night. I watched The Shawshank Redemption for the 100th.
I mean, that is a great
movie. It's a great one.
And thank you for the
Better
call.
Than the game.
I mean, come on, you're not watching the game. I was actually thinking about
Morgan Freeman. Listen, you didn't have to watch Shawshank. You got Morgan in a lot of those commercials, so you got a little Freeman.
Yeah.
But no matter what you did.
I don't disagree with what he's saying. I just can't imagine
not
any
watching.
Person
no,
in the
I
world
I,
not watching the Super Bowl.
Well, I believe him.
Or not paying attention to it. Like, if you can't watch it, at least listening to it. Yeah, maybe. I mean, God. Can you imagine that?
No, I can't imagine that.
Like, I don't even want to watch the game. Like, all right, the game stinks, but still I have FOMO. I can't shut it off.
I do think a lot of people have been turned off by sports. I don't think people like being preached to. And, you know...
Who was doing preaching
Some of the commercials, like, it's very preachy. Like, can we have some fun commercials? Can we just laugh?
I should have made a note of
can
it.
Can we please do that?
There was maybe one or two commercials that made me laugh, but even those are like... It's not the same.
What was the good one? There was one with...
Seal.
Seal, the Seal was one was pretty good. Yeah, Seal.
What else? What was some of the? Maybe we'll come back and do
that. One with Matt Damon and.
How about Belichick's girlfriend getting involved in one of those commercials?
I missed that one.
The Dunkin' Donuts one that was.
I didn't see that. Ben Affleck did it a year ago.
Yeah, they did the same thing.
I missed that one.
Bill and his girlfriend were in there.
I also heard she may have had a little rock on that finger.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I heard, Billy.
Good God.
Making sure she doesn't hit the market. Probably not a bad move, Bill.
I'm old, whatever.
You're better secure now.
The Beckham, it was Beckham and Damon were in that commercial.
Yeah, that was actually good.
One. Yeah. There was a couple of good ones. I don't think they're as, and maybe it's just me being nostalgic, but I feel like when I was a kid, they were
the best. The Bud Bowls, like you said the other day.
Yeah.
I like the one where it was Budweiser, where the owner's like, nah, you basically said for the horse who was trying to get involved with the Clydesdale, he's like, nah, you're too little, you can't help us out, you're too young. And he basically rolls the keg into the bar. Like, that was a good one. Like, there were a couple of good ones, but I don't know. I like, the feel-goodness, if you will, from Super Bowl Sunday is just wasn't there.
Yeah.
The season stunk.
Also, I remember as a kid, like, I'm sure Colt is living it up. Like, at that age, you don't have to do anything. Like, as an adult now, I get my wife, oh, can you let Maddox in? He's outside. I'm like, I'm watching the Super Bowl. Let Maddox in. Who let him out? I got to go let him in? Yeah. And if you do it, you can't do it during the game, then you got to do it during the commercial.
Well, you could hit pause. I mean, with DVR.
Well, that is
just
true.
Okay, yeah, sure. Maddox, come on, buddy. Hurry up.
Fair enough. But then you
come to daddy, Maddox.
Then you're behind, and now, you know, whatever. I know. He got to clean his paws because of the snow.
Oh,
it's a whole
God.
Thing. He's taking the garbage out, putting the food away. BT and Sal on the fan. More your calls. We go back 888-808-1019.
Hey, I remember syrup
BT and Sal back on the fan. I do have one issue. I know we touched on a little bit, BT, with the Super Bowl. I do have one issue with people complaining about the halftime show saying it was awful. Like, if you don't like Kendrick Lamar, and I'm not a huge Kendrick Lamar fan. I like some of his stuff. I think he's extremely a good writer. It's just not my cup of tea necessarily. Like, he's not my favorite artist.
Yeah.
But I didn't think did you think the halftime show was bad?
I actually thought the production was amazing. Like, like, just aesthetically, the way it looked. I mean, the collaboration, like, just how they synced everything up was incredibly impressive. It's just, I don't like the music.
Right, but I'm with you there. Like, that I could understand, but I feel like a lot of people, even just now in the hallway, I'm seeing one of the engineers like, oh, that halftime was awful. Well, why was it awful? Because you don't like the music? All right, well, how about for all the other people that they've had over the years, give me whoever they may be, you know, whatever, these artists that they have that, like...
Well,
you know,
Prince was great.
Prince was awesome.
I love Prince.
The Who, like,
please. No, I don't like The Who.
Yeah, okay,
I'm not a Who fan.
Right, but there are some people that are like, oh, The Who, this is the
great thing. True.
I couldn't give a crap less about The Who. If they were performing in my backyard, as Doggy would say, I would draw the blinds. Like, but I didn't say the show was awful. I don't even remember it. I just wouldn't pay attention to it.
Uh-huh.
I felt like yesterday, and maybe this is just the way of social media, whatever, it was like, oh, this halftime is awful. It's awful. I didn't think it was bad. Did I love the music? No, but I didn't think it was bad. It was Kendrick Lamar performing at halftime. You either like Kendrick Lamar or you don't.
Which shapes your opinion on whether or not it was good or bad.
Right.
I think you're onto something
with
that.
But I do think you could have, let's say it was Eminem performing.
Yep.
And I love Eminem, but let's say the performance wasn't great. Like, even a couple years ago, they did have Eminem and Snoop.
Oh, absolutely. That was a unique set, too. Remember that? The house there. I was wild.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah, and I enjoyed that a lot more than yesterday because I know I like that music better.
Well, I like the music, too, but I didn't think the performance was necessarily great. Or,
yeah, I got
you. Know, who was it that they had? Was it Lady Gaga? Who was it that was, like, flying
Katy
in over
Perry.
The stadium?
Oh, Katy Perry. That was about 5, okay. 6, 70,
yeah,
whatever
like,
it was.
I
yeah.
like Katy Perry, and I thought that the performance was good. Like, but it's just different. Kendrick Lamar is not that type. He's not a pop performer.
No, you know, I remember saying this to Tiki years ago. What I think they should do, and I don't know why they've never done this, what I would do is in each corner of the stadium, like I would just make it like concert quadrants where the first act, and you want to do a little, because you want to make it so that everybody has a little emotional investment in what they're watching. And the way you have an emotional investment is to know the words. I don't know Kendrick Lamar's words. I'm not saying he's not good. I know he's a great writer,
a
to
minor.
Your point.
Yeah. That one you know.
My kid knew that one.
You know,
by the way, 7-year-old knew
my
that
favorite
one.
Part of
I know
that,
a few,
before you get back to your point, my favorite part of the whole thing was Serena Williams, because you know this backstory.
Well,
of course. Yeah, so with her sticking with Drake a little bit, and I can't stop watching that seat walk that she was doing there. Anyway, yes, I like your point of trying to
I would do is I would have a certain act that represents each genre of music. Like, you want to go old school, like you want to go The Who or The Stones, or obviously, I mean, those guys are getting really old, but that's one faction, and those are incredibly popular bands. You want to go R&B, you want to go country, you want to go, you know, rap, like you just, and then it's just like boom, 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 boom. And then it's like, okay, because now, like if you're waiting on country and country's third, at least you're waiting with anticipation, like, all right, and I'm not even a huge country fan. I've grown to like it more the last couple of years, I guess, but I didn't like it. I never heard it once when I was a kid at all. Neither did you, probably.
Not my thing at all. My father liked it. I couldn't.
And my parents didn't even play it. Maybe Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers, who I do love. I love Kenny, but that's it. So I don't know. I think that they can make it a little more desirable for everybody. I think there's a way to do that. I'm not grading his performance like, oh, he didn't sound well, he was off beat. What the hell do I know? I just don't know the song, so it wasn't interesting to me.
Did you like the bell-bottom pants that he had on?
No, I'm surprised he didn't trip over those.
It was
too long.
See, that was the time where I'm asking my wife questions now. The first half, she's like, who's this player? And I'm like, oh, that's the quarterback of the Eagles, Jalen Hurts. 5 seconds later, they show him again, oh, who's that? I go, that's the quarterback of the Eagles, Jalen Hurts. We already went over that.
At halftime,
I'm asking her questions. I'm like, are bell-bottoms in? Am I missing something?
I haven't seen them. I think they came back a while ago, but I have not seen them in a while. I mean, everything makes its way back at some point. Even the double-breasted suit made a comeback. You know how it is. Gold chains make a comeback.
I would not have had that for a prop bet, Kendrick Lamar and bell-bottoms. Hoff, you have a list of the... Because I do feel like they used to do, at least a couple of times, what you're saying, BT, have like two different type acts in one. You have a list of the performers.
So we'll go back in reverse. So it's Kendrick Lamar, obviously. Last year was Usher. He had like 6 special guests. Like Alicia
Usher,
Keys.
Usher, whatever. Like, that's what I mean, like... Okay, I like a couple of songs, and he could dance, but, like, do I really care about Usher? No.
I don't, but I know more music, I think, than last night.
But the songs suck, though. So
I'm not a big Usher fan.
I prefer to know songs that are, to hear songs that I don't know and try to understand if I even like it, rather than, I hate this freaking song.
Who else?
All right, so you got Rihanna, who had no special guests.
She's got banger hits all over the place.
Bangers all over the place, Dr. Dre.
She was actually pregnant, right?
She was pregnant.
Yeah, she revealed. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Then you have the collaboration of Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige.
God, how many years ago was that now?
Mary J.
2022.
Mary J.'s money.
Actually, Kendrick Lamar was on that, too, along with 50 Cent.
Yeah, I know he was. Yep.
Then you had The Weeknd, which was terrible. He was by himself.
I like The Weeknd. I don't have a problem. So, do you like The Weeknd?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't...
I love some of the songs.
I like The Weeknd, but the performance was terrible.
Maybe that's a different argument. Okay, go ahead.
Then you had Shakira and Jennifer Lopez.
Right.
I like that
I don't think many of us are going to argue with that
performance. No, it was pretty good. Yeah.
did they say something? go ahead.
Yeah. Maroon 5,
I'm not a Maroon 5 guy.
Here you go, but they had Travis Scott, Big Boy, Georgia State University marching band. So that was
I'm out on that. I don't even remember that, but whatever.
Justin Timberlake with the Tennessee Kids.
Hey, can you tell me who performed at the halftime? Because I don't even remember it. I remember when I went, the one Super Bowl I went to.
The Giants game?
Yeah, the first Giants... first Giants-Patriots game in Arizona.
2007.
Alicia Keys, I'm pretty sure, did the... Was she performing at halftime or did she do the open? I remember Alicia Keys.
Did she sing the national anthem?
Yeah, she might have done the anthem. This is 2007.
So it's really 2008?
Yes.
All right, so Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Tom Petty. Now, I love Tom Petty.
I like the last
didn't
anthem.
Didn't sound
Mary
great,
Jane,
though.
But
Didn't sound great.
Yeah.
But I love that band.
But that's
great
what I mean.
Band.
So like,
didn't sound good, though.
So now this is years later, obviously many years later from there. You're almost talking about 20 years, which is hard to believe. But like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, come on. And so some people are going to say Kendrick Lamar, come on. And that's why, to your point, maybe they should make it a little more split. I just don't. You can't please everybody.
I know you can't, but they don't even try.
I don't know. Well, Katy Perry's kind of like, you know, touching all genres.
Not touching me. I'm not a Katy Perry fan. I don't have one. I don't dislike her. I have a couple
music.
Good songs, but I don't have a song on my iPhone. Like, I never once downloaded one of her songs.
Oh,
I
really?
Mean,
they're good.
No, that's it. She's talented.
Like,
it's just not my music.
I like Nas. But Nas is never going to perform at
No.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. So
yeah, I got you.
So you don't need to you don't need to be in everybody's wheelhouse. But if you go with popular music, Kendrick Lamar he does have popular music, whether you and I are fans or not.
Understood. I guess you attack the greater good. What was the first act ever? How far does that list go back?
Oh, jeez.
How far does it go back?
Yeah, which on your list?
The beginning of time. Hold on, let's see. The first, January 15th, 1967.
Jesus.
And who do they have?
The University of Arizona Symphonic.
So they did collegiate stuff. Okay, yeah. What about, like, say, 1975? Like, what were they doing mid-70s?
See, when we actually start to pick things up. It's just all marching bands.
Yep.
Yeah, see, I was going to say.
Up with the People in 1976? Who's that?
Who's that?
Up with the People?
I'm not sure.
I don't know who that is.
What about, like, 78, 79? Did they have, like, Donna Summer?
Ken Hamilton, various Caribbean bands?
I don't know that one either.
Mm. Jesus.
Yeah.
We've come a long way.
They did a Salute to Big Band era in 1980.
Okay. Give me like 80.
Yeah. Michael Jackson ever do it? I don't think he did.
He did.
Oh, he did.
He did, yeah.
I remember that one.
Yeah, I think he did. Didn't he, or was that a commercial?
When he lit his hair on fire? Yeah, that was a Pepsi commercial they were shooting. Right.
They kept doing Up with the People. I don't know who they are.
I don't know.
George Burns, Mickey Rooney, and Grambling State University in 1987.
George Burns? What did he do? A comedy skit? Mm. George Burns?
Hollywood's 100th anniversary.
Oh, okay. I got you.
What else?
Okay.
Chubby Checker in 88. There you go.
Now
there
we go. Okay.
Doing the twist.
Yeah.
Elvis Presto?
Ah, no.
In 89. I don't know.
Elvis Presto?
I think you spelled it wrong. It's Presley.
No.
He's already dead. Died in the 70s.
Oh, maybe it was one of those. Who did it at 90 for the Giants?
That was a Pasadena.
Pete Fountain, Doug Kershaw, Irma Thomas, Nicholas State University. I don't know who.
See, I don't remember these at all as a kid.
It wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
I don't.
Here we go. 1991. It's when things start to pick up a little bit. Disney. New Kids on the Block.
Oh, all right. And KOTB.
I like that. I'm surprised I don't remember that.
Well, me neither.
Now, that was 90, the 91 Super Bowl?
91.
Or January of 91?
January of 91.
Then that was the 1990 then Super Bowl, no?
Oh, yeah, it was at Tampa.
The Giants season,
Pasadena, that's right. When I said Pasadena, that's right. Yeah. That was Tampa. All right, so what about after New Kids? Just keep going.
Gloria Estefan.
All right, Miami Sound Machine. There we go.
And Michael Jackson was 1993 Super Bowl.
Legend.
Okay, there we go. We start picking it up.
All right, finally.
90s. Clint Black, Tanya Tucker, Travis Tritt, and the Judds.
Not my thing.
94. Okay. Right.
But whatever. At least still. Right. Not my thing either, but good.
Patti LaBelle, Indiana Jones.
Not my thing. Patti's a legend, but not my thing. Yep.
Yeah, Teddy Pendergrass. There was a bunch of classics.
I've heard of him before.
Mm-hmm.
Diana Ross, 96.
Okay.
Blues Brothers. Oh, I remember that one from 97.
There you go.
That was kind of like a joke.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that.
Boys to Men.
Okay.
98. It starts picking up a little bit.
There you go. There we go. Yeah. That's good.
All right. So in the 90s, really, it started to take on.
Like, 90s music
it's when
was good.
MTV took over, ruined it.
Well, you know what happened? Instead of having a halftime act, it became, hey, let's have a concert in the middle of the game.
True.
That's what happened. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Anyone can see the road they walk on. Monday, Super Bowl Monday, after a dud of a game. You know, it's funny, you wait all year for the biggest game of the year. You got 2 weeks to build up, and then you have a game like that. It just sucks, and that's it. For football, it is the end of one season and the start of another. We'll dive more into the basketball, BT. Certainly today we'll discuss it, too. But you got St. John's, you got the Knicks, you got a little hockey whenever that comes back from that vacation that they're on right now, the little hiatus here with the Four Nation Challenge. And then, of course, pitchers and catchers reporting this week.
Well, it's funny you say that because I was just watching some of these guys pull it up. Lindor in Port St. Lucie, Dominguez, Spencer Jones, you know, cutting off the rust out down there in Tampa, doing some drills defensively. So, yeah, I mean, before you know it, it's going to trickle in, and it's fun to see because you know baseball's around the corner. But before you know it, they'll be playing games.
Yeah.
And we will see this, you know, as much as we don't really associate positional battles per se with these teams, because they're both fairly set outside of third base for the Yankees, whatever. There are some storylines. I mean, how does Dominguez look? How does Alvarez look? How does Volpe look? How does, you know, some of the younger players look? Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not banking on LeMahieu. I mean, how's he going to look? He's going to look like he's 90. How's he going to look? Let me spare everybody.
Yeah, well.
You know, but there are some under-the-radar stories, so I can't wait. It's a good time to be a sports fan.
And by the way, Aaron Boone, who's, of course, a big Eagles fan, gets to see his team win a Super Bowl last night, getting ready to get his team in a spot to where they could go do maybe the unthinkable. And I know it's weird, like, and the Yankees are the Yankees, right? But the Dodgers have taken over the Yankees' gimmick here as the evil empire thing. Even they're diving into it. I see the tweets or whatever, social media.
Yeah.
And it feels like, well, even if everything goes well, you know, the Dodgers still should be the premier team. Well, you just saw last night how nobody coming into the year, I know people thought the Eagles were going to be good, but I don't think anybody would ever expect that. Maybe Detroit winning the Super Bowl, maybe Philadelphia winning the Super Bowl, but against Kansas City in the fashion that they did, maybe the Yankees can be the Eagles as far as baseball goes and knock off the unbeatable dynasty in the Dodgers.
You know, the thing that makes it a little tougher is obviously with baseball, you'd have to win four games versus one, and if the Dodgers are healthy and the Dodgers are as stacked as we all know that they are, it's going to be a Herculean test for anybody to unseat them. But I think, you know, you look at the long, twisting road that is a major league season. And also from a Mets perspective, I think that certainly Mets ownership, and I do believe if third base is just a complete zero, I think the Yankees will try to upgrade that. What I'm saying is I think that both teams will be in a position to add before the deadline. And I think that both teams have a lot of intriguing pieces. So, yeah, the Dodgers are the Dodgers for now. It's also February.
Right. Anything could happen.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. And the Mets and Yankees both have as good a chance, you would think, as anybody in the sport. Even more so maybe the Yankees because of the landscape of the American League. BT and Sal on the fan. We've been talking a lot of Jets with Aaron Rodgers. Vinny is in Brooklyn. Vinny, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, guys? What's up, BT? What's up, Sal?
What's up?
How you doing?
Good, buddy.
No, I was on touching base with Rodgers' situation. Is there any chance they could make a move in the draft?
Sure. I think there's a couple of ways they could go, but I think that will really be determined by what they do with some of these other players. Like, if it's a rebuild, and that's one of the things that me and Sal talked about, like a full rebuild, like whether it's Sauce or Garrett, whatever, Breece Hall, you know, then that might change what they do. Can they just take the best available at seven? Yeah. Could they maybe reach for a quarterback at seven? I wouldn't, but they could. Could they trade back? They could do anything. I mean, they really do have some options here.
But there's no try to move it up to two or three.
I'm not doing that myself, but I don't know how they view these two quarterbacks. I wouldn't do that. I don't think they're worth it.
And think about this, Vinny. You know, if you don't want to take our word for it or make that decision on your own, Thomas Dimitroff, who was on with us a week ago, and check it out, you know, the podcast version of it, Odyssey app, all that stuff. He said what he told the Jets what he would have done, or actually he referenced when he interviewed with both the Jets and the Titans. He said he would have traded out of the first spot for the Titans, traded back down because he didn't love either the quarterback. So now you're talking about the Jets potentially trading up from seven to get quarterbacks that I think a lot of people that do this for a living, doesn't mean that they're right, but they would say that it's a reach to even take them at one or two, let alone trading up for these quarterbacks. And I do think Giants are in a different spot, although you've said this many times, BT, like just because you need a quarterback, you shouldn't force the issue. I'm not looking to do that in this draft if I'm the Jets. Not trading up, trading back, or taking one later, that's a different story.
If Sanders or Ward, but it seems like Sanders most connected to the Giants. If Sanders is there at three, I'm taking him. Even though I don't love him, I like him.
If you're the Giants.
If I'm the Giants. Yeah. I don't love him. I'm not moving up. Even to go from 3-2 with the Browns or 3-1 with Tennessee, I'm not moving up. I don't view either one of these prospects to be that like worthy of that kind of a move, and there's no way I'm doing it. But at least the Giants can be a little more justified going up one spot, maybe two. For the Jets to go from 7-2 or 1, like there's no way. Like that would be, to me, that would be reckless.
But don't you think even just drafting one, like you've been on this side with the Giants, I feel like they just need a quarterback, so just get one and get it over with. But it doesn't mean that it's the right practice just because you need a quarterback taking, let's say, Sanders at three even, if you don't believe in him. Like, to take him in that spot or anybody in that spot, you better make sure you love him and not just because he's a quarterback.
I agree, but I do think that they like him. Now, the degree of like, is it going to cross that bridge and eventually become love? I don't know. I definitely think the Giants like Sanders now. I mean, they've already, they watched him practice a lot. They went out to Colorado a lot, so there's already an investment there. I think that he's their guy.
They
now
have to like him better than they like J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, and Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Two of which who have already had some success in the NFL. Or I mean, that's...
I know. I know. The one difference is that, you know, the thing that complicated and muddied the waters a year ago, Daniel Jones was still here. He's not. Now you draft with a freer mind. And it's not perfect. But no, if they don't love him, I'm not reaching a three. I'm just going to punt it. I'm just going to get a good roster and just eventually try to find the quarterback. But the problem is, clock's ticking on this regime. They know that.